Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. You're listening to the Uranus Happens Show live here on Blog Talk Radio, powered by eAstrologer.tv. I'm Ernesto. I'm your host. I'll be here for you for the next 2 hours. Here with my friend Veretta, we'll be giving everybody some great Uranian astrology and psychic mediumship readings tonight. This afternoon. We'll be here until 2 p.m. Mountain or Arizona time. Now, I do want to encourage everybody, if you're watching us on YouTube or on Facebook, we don't really do chat readings, so just give us a call here on the show directly. Our phone number is 563-999-3070. Again, we'll be here for the next 2 hours. So, Veretta, are you there on the line with me? Can you hear me right now?
I am. I can. We are ready to go.
We are, yes, and of course, it's the tail end of Mercury retrograde, and I'm having some audio issues today, so fingers crossed that we don't get dumped from our show here tonight. Now, big question, though, it is a new month. It's October 2nd, so what are the big energies or things that we need to know about in the month coming up ahead?
Even though that we're feeling like, okay, woohoo, Mercury retrograde is over, clear sailing, we still have bumps in the road coming up. And I would say anybody that would think that nothing can go wrong now because you're past that type of stuff, don't get cocky, don't get too sure, don't get too settled in self that things can't go in a different manner that you intended them to go. So I would say just be flexible this week, be open-minded about what's to come, and don't take anything for granted, is what I would say.
Okay, all right. That's always solid advice. Don't take things for granted. Let me show you guys something here real quick on the ephemeris. So this is interesting to me because I like to keep up to date with, you know, what's new and trending in terms of astrology. I know it's a bunch of like 12 house crap that just doesn't make sense, that's meant to be for everybody on the planet, but I'd like to still try and find out, so where are they drawing these conclusions from? Like, where is all of this, you know, like wokeness coming from that really just doesn't make sense? Well, I only care about this because I used to write these columns. So like those 12 house horrible scopes, things that you see every place, I used to be one of those horrible scope writers. So I'm interested to see, like, how do other people do it? Because I know how I did it. And it's always interesting to me how people seem to make these really huge leaps and correlations about how this one single factor is somehow going to affect millions of people on the planet. It will be true for everybody. And then it begs the question, you know, like, is this astrology something that you believe in because so many people are into it? Well, here's the thing about astrology and what we do here in Uranian astrology versus a 12 house system. We really care about planetary positions. So what we're looking right now is we are looking at the planets in the sky and their zodiacal positions. So you can see that there's some R and some D's here on this screen. So the R is going to stand for retrograde, and we have quite a few planets in retrograde right now, Saturn and also Uranus, and also Jupiter, and also Mercury. And at the end of the month, on the 31st, we also have Mars that's going to go retrograde too. But what I really want to draw your attention for right now is that you have these energies here at the top for the Jupiter and the Saturn. And, you know, people have written ad nauseum in astrology about some Saturn-Uranus square conjunction or like having to do with Pluto and then some other things. So if you look at that in terms of these two columns, what's happening with those two planets in particular, look at those numbers right up until about like, no, sorry, wrong column. Let's redo that again. We're going to be looking at Saturn and Uranus here. My apologies, I got this messed up. Saturn and Uranus, we'll look at these, and then we also see what's happened between them. They are dangerously close to each other throughout until about the 23rd of this month. Those two planets are within about a degree. So when people talk about like Saturn-Uranus conjunction and, you know, all of that trash, they're really just talking about really general things. But the main thing that we need to take away here is the fact that we have two planets that are within a degree of each other, and both of these planets are pretty slow to pass around the sun, so there must be something to that. Well, there is and there isn't. Number one, what you'll notice is that Saturn is in Aquarius and Uranus is in Taurus, so that means that those two signs are in square. So that's interesting that there's friction, there's energy, there's something along those lines, and it's further supported if we go over here to the dial. Then what we see in this lens is the fact that you've got Saturn and Uranus that are both happening down here on this part of the world chart. So these two things are not on this arrow exactly, but they're right in between the dot and the arrow. So that makes it a little bit significant. But again, this is going to apply to every single person on the planet. So it's difficult, if not impossible, to do any type of analysis based on that information. But, you know, everybody in BuzzFeed and all of those kinds of popular astrology places, they're all talking about Saturn Uranus and doing some square opposition or whatever it is. And we've seen all of this stuff for the past 10 years. And that's really what they're looking at here and talking about. So what does that mean exactly, right? So that's the next question is what are we supposed to do with that information? So if we look it up in the rule book, Saturn and Uranus, just those two planets, when we see here in definition book, did I spell it wrong? I guess I did. So Saturn, Uranus, come on. There we go. So this is just sudden separations, parting and death, and inflexibility. So those are going to be the three major themes or issues that every person on the planet will be dealing with for the next couple of months. Or excuse me, the next few weeks. So everybody's going to feel under that really tight grind, like you just can't get away from whatever it is that's chasing you. And then suddenly it's just going to break. So do be prepared for that. Thank you. Okay, so great. So we have this here. That's going to be one major theme this month is Saturn-Uranus. That'll be for the next few weeks, that tension or that friction that everybody's feeling. And then some of the other things, if we go back to the ephemeris and we look at this and what's happening out in the world, then we also see that we've got that Saturn-Uranus. We talked about that. Jupiter is also going to be entering Jupiter is in retrograde right now, but it'll be going direct later on in time. And that'll give us a little bit of relief here, but we're not really going to see those effects with Jupiter until next month. So that's going to be around Thanksgiving that planet will go direct. So that will bring some relief to people. But the Mars retrograde, that's the real one that we want to pay attention to here. That the Mars retrograde, once that hits on the 31st, that's going to be happening. Let's see. That's going to be in the sign of Gemini. That's a lot of mental energy. That's a lot of like social media kinds of things. Remember on the dark side that Mars is also representative of anger. It's also going to talk about, things that we've pushed too hard. So whenever we feel this energy in general under a retrograde influence, obviously we want to take our actions and our work back. We want to scale all of that back and go inside and do all of those types of words to review and all of that, those kinds of great things. So that's the general overall theme, but the manifestation for a lot of people in terms of this Mars retrograde, especially this time, is just going to be people are going to be really mad. And, you know, like when it comes to their mental energy, you're going to notice that there is just some unpleasantness with your thoughts right now. And well, because Mars is going to be going backwards in an air sign, which is extremely mental in this case, this is going to be a major theme. It'll be highlighted for everybody. So stay off of social media. Keep your mouth shut whenever you have those feelings like, you know, I want to have that visceral knee-jerk reaction and let somebody know what's really on my mind and how they hurt me. Well, please don't, because there's usually a backfire to that, especially under a Mars retrograde influence. So put your phone down, walk away. It's going to be fine. You know, I don't mean to minimize you in any way, but your feelings truly don't matter when it comes to these kinds of things, because it's just a bunch of trash nonsense that it's going to go away anyway. So push through it and you'll be fine. those are the main takeaways. I mean, there's more stuff, obviously, like people have written about an eclipse, which we don't get into in Uranian astrology. They've also talked about like some great 8-year love cycle and all of this other crap, but that's all not really very personal. So we don't get into those things. But from a general level, that's the sense of what's going on here in the sky for the month of October. Now, for everybody who is listening, whether if you're on Blog Talk Radio, if you are on YouTube or on Facebook, be sure to give us a call here at the show if you'd like to speak to us and get a free live reading. That number is 563-999-3070. And Beretta, do you have anything else that you'd like to add to this at this time, or are we good?
You got a mouthful going on there. I think that's good enough.
Yeah, it really is. It's going to be a big month. There's a lot that's going to happen. And so I think, you know, the stagnancy that everybody's been feeling recently, that's finally going to start to move forward. But then it's going to be immediately thwarted by the fact that, you know, you've got this Mars retrograde energy that's saying, so we want to move forward, but now we can't do that anymore. But we're going to step back and, you know, get some more ideas about what we want here. Because what you think you want right now, that's not the final answer. It's not the final plan. And you will be disappointed if you go down that road too. So that's why you feel like the wheels are turning, and then we're going to step back right away and do some planning. So those are the energies that we'll be dealing with here over the course of the next month.
Yeah. Yep. I agree.
Okay then. So let me do something here. Great. So we are going to get off to our phone lines and catch up with some of our subscribers here. We're going to get off to area code 860. Hi, you're on the Aranda Papin Show. May I have your name and date of birth?
Hi, it's Amala. How are you?
I'm doing great, Amala. How are you?
Good. So the date of birth
your birth chart because you're a subscriber here. So perfect. Now, Amala, would you like a general reading, or do you have a question about an issue today?
I have a question about something.
Okay, what's that?
I'm actually talking to somebody, and I'd love, Beretta, and your opinion on something. I think it's just, like, stuff, you know, like, I think universe is kind of always testing you if you've graduated to go onto another platform, if you would.
Yeah,
so
right?
I did a lot of work on myself, and it's never ending, but it's fascinating because – my triggers are being tested, and in a good way, you know, so I'm speaking up more in the sense of like setting healthy boundaries, blah, blah, blah. So with this person that I'm interested in, it's interesting because he's taking his time getting back to me. And I'm just wondering if Beretta, if you think it's like, if this is just a part of him that he wants to just be very articulate with his words and just take a lot of time to really, you know, configure what he wants to say and in response to my boundaries that I actually sent him a letter, because I bet I work better that way. And he does too. So he wants to reply to me in a letter or email or whatever. So I was just wondering, anything you've got with that, that'd be great. Does that make sense?
Okay.
Can we get a name?
Yeah.
It's Gerald.
Gerald?
Yeah.
Gerald. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Hang tight here for a minute. Mamala, let me zoom in on Gerald. Yeah, okay. So this is what I got. He would like to respond. You're right. You're absolutely correct. He doesn't know what to say. Now, you're pretty, you know, your insight is intact and you're picking up the right signals. This is what I need you to understand about his first impression about your letter and who you are.
Okay.
Okay, so one of the things that I can tell you is right away, he went, whew, that's a lot of stuff right there. And not in a bad way, but like a little bit maybe overwhelming kind of way.
Okay.
In whatever you had to say. And he is definitely processing it, is not put off. It's just, you're right, he doesn't know what to say, and he's not real thrilled about having to respond to something like that, okay?
Yes.
So he's struggling a little bit, not in only what to say, how to say, but if he really wants to. Because that is a lot. And I think he thinks maybe he's on that notion of, wow, this is the starting of the relationship. What's the rest of the thing going to be like? Because I don't know if my life insurance is paid up. So
it's funny that you said that, because, like, it's really just a friendship. So it's funny how, like, and I actually was very articulate. And it's not because I'm a writer. It's just, I think any friendship relationship, you know, I don't want to, in a nutshell, I don't want to let things go. When you let things go, and I actually metaphorically said this analogy, if that makes any sense. Basically, small leaky faucets lead into bigger leaky faucets unless you attend to it. And I said that.
Yeah.
You know, so that's why I would rather say at the beginning. My thing with this is, you both know me, it's the blindness. And so I had to set boundaries with my blindness of, like, I need you there. I can't just do everything by myself. And that's important at the beginning. I don't care if it's, I really just treat this as just a friendship, that we're getting to know each other. And I know I'm intense, but it's also because of the trajectory of my journey. So,
So just go slow, let him take his time, how to respond and develop the right answer. And be solid in his response so that he knows he wants to, you know, continue to move forward with this friendship.
Yeah.
Albeit slow. And it won't be that big of a hurdle. It really will depend upon the next intercourse between you two, verbal intercourse between you two, that will set the tone for the rest of the relationship. So what I'm saying is next time you talk, if you come off with accusing, defensive, punitive tone, she's not going to be, that's your relationship's done. Your relationship's done. If you come back with a, okay, well, you know, I'm glad I got that out of my system now, it's over, let's move on, not even a hurdle, it's not a big deal, not a joke, but like you cleared yourself and it's done, there's no reason to ever bring it up anymore kind of energy, you're good to go.
Yes. Okay.
You're good to go.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, I really did it with respect for him. And that's why, you know, I took the time to, like, not be react. I said that. I want to respond versus react with you. And that's exactly what I did. And I think because I'm just a deep person, I think I definitely come across as wow, it's intense.
Intense.
But
a little bit,
I mean, it's also my blindness. I can't just, you know, it was basically something with a door. And he just was like, okay, his actions, but he didn't mean it. And I said this to him. It's not like he meant it, but, like, I needed help with the door. It was dark. I was getting into his car. And it's just like, basically, it's like the actions were he didn't want to, like, help me in. And he just was like, oh, hey, you figure it out, basically, based on his actions. I'm like, I can't have you do that with me. I can't.
Yeah.
Just things like, you know, like, sorry.
And that's fine. Just remember, no, that's not how every friendship relationship works, though. And you're well within your right to structure a relationship like that because you need to. However, it does catch people off guard. So go ahead and go in, so I'll shut up now.
Sure.
Okay,
all right.
So
I'm
feel like
picking...
he's gonna, do you think he's going to respond to me this week? It's been a week.
I think I'll let Ernesto field that because he can probably come up with a better idea about the end result. So we'll let him do that.
Let's take a look at this one. So if you're watching our YouTube stream right now, I asked the question right now about you and in terms of, like, love partners. You know, like, that's really the nature of your question today. So when we look at that access point in your chart, you'll see some other circles and squares and lines that I've drawn here. But really what this is speaking to is with respect to your question about going to contact me this week, I want to say the answer is yes, that it will be this week and definitely not today. So today is, you know, one of those things where you kind of need to walk from it and create space. Sort of, I think, what you did here is like you,
exactly.
Some,
yeah.
You know, some you were given some little kernel of emotion, and as somebody who's relatively emotional myself, I get this. So, you know, we're given whatever little kernel of emotion that we can get, and then we run with that into immediate kittens and rainbows territory. So it's like, you know, we kind of got to sell this back and come back into reality for a bit. My advice to you, I do believe that he will react to you about it. It could be within the next year or so, but when you do have.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're what? Actually cutting off. What did you say? I'm sorry. You cut off a little.
My apologies. That you definitely hear him within the next week or so. So you
okay.
can expect
okay.
that, just not today. And you, when you do talk to him, the nature of the conversation needs to be about establishing boundaries in this relationship or, you know, the friendship and just, you know, ask me of these issues. You need to take care of me in ABC ways. And I understand that, you know, that this is something that should seem relatively intuitive to you, but, you know, I'm going to have to beat you over the head and spell it out for you very clearly because that's just the human nature. And so I think that this is going to be, once you can get that out of your system to say, you know, like that I have ABC issues and I expect you to take care of me under these conditions or scenarios, that this is how expect you to behave, so that
yeah.
there's not any weirdness, and so that my personal well-being is not threatened in any way. That this is a conversation that needs to happen with this guy, and it's going to be one that you have relatively early on. I think it'll not only just be about establishing boundaries, but more importantly, it's going to clear up any confusion that there is in this whole
exactly.
situation.
Exactly.
You know,
that's
it's,
right.
it's not only just the fact that you need to establish boundaries. It's also the fact that neither one of you really understands the terms of the game that you're playing. And so for that reason, you know, you need to be on board with everything that's going to be going forward.
Yeah. And it really is a checking in. I would do this with a girlfriend too. I can't have people not follow through with me, and I would let things slide, and then I'm the one in a messy situation because I'm tripping, I'm falling, I'm bumping into things because I did not say anything. So
right.
I'm trying to do this while it's not, he didn't do anything, he didn't know. So I just addressed it, and I used those words. I'm just addressing this because it's important to me at the beginning that you know how to work with me. I even told him, I said, I am not a moocher. I don't need you as a crutch or anyone. It's just when I have needs that I need to be met, especially with the blindness. Yeah, I need to address them. So basically that's what I said. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, totally understand. You know, it's kind of like as a disabled individual myself, I have to warn people, you know, like, hey, I may have a muscle spasm that's really uncomfortable. So if that happens, you need to pull over immediately so I can work that out.
Exactly. Because if you, as you yeah. know, if you're not taking care of yourself, how can anybody help you when you really need it?
Right.
You know? Yeah.
And I know the biggest thing.
Go ahead. Sorry.
You aren't typical in your needs, so therefore you do need to specify or spell it out so they can know.
Yep.
And that's why I said, no, this isn't typical in a relationship, but it's a necessity in yours, and it's okay.
Exactly. And, you know, what I used to do, and this is the old me, again, going onto another platform, was people are not mind readers. You can't expect people to know everything. Like, shouldn't they know? No, they don't know. So you do have to spell it out sometimes, you know, and I'm, because I'm so intuitive, I'm like, how come they don't know? I do this in my head a lot, but I've learned to stop that and say, you know, they don't know. You need to address this and verbally tell them because they don't know. They know what they know.
Right.
People know what they know. That's it. And mostly about themselves, not about somebody else.
I do believe that this will turn into a relationship for you, that it's something that once you kind of get these kinks out of the system, then it's going to be smooth sailing going forward. And, you know, if it's not a relationship, which is what I would expect from this, you know, like a romantic, you know, one-on-one type of relationship, at the very, very minimum, this person will be the most steady friend you have ever had.
Yeah, I could already tell, like, there's this soul connection that I can't describe this is so different than anything I've experienced. It's so natural. And I'm not used to that at all, but I'm inviting it all in. Like, I don't want to jump into anything anyway. I've done that. Doesn't work for me. And I would rather have it steady, because when you have a, it's just like growing a plant. You know, wouldn't you rather just have it step-by-step increments than to just jump into something and then have expectations? I don't want to, with the friendship, there's only, it can only grow like a plant. So it's beautiful. It really is a beautiful thing. I really feel a great connection with this person. He really, he gets it. And I think we could learn a lot from each other. I already am. I'm learning a lot from him, and I know he's learning a lot from me. So it's a really cool dynamic for sure. So, yeah.
Well, I'm going to be sure to give us a call back and let us know how it turns out. It was great to have you
on
the show.
I will.
Today.
Thank you. And Beretta, I just wanted to say, I love your name. I forgot to tell you that. It's a cool name, man. Very cool.
Well, thank you, darling. Well, that's what I was given at birth, so I don't have a choice about that. I kept it, though. Thank you. Thank you.
Of course. Of course. God bless you both. Thank you so much.
We'll catch up with you soon. Until next time. Take care.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. Okay. And we are going to take our next caller here from area code 541. Here we go. Hi, you're on the Uranus Half the Show. May I have your name and date of birth?
Hello, this is Nancy from Oregon.
Nancy, okay, all right. So we've spoken to you before. I remember you. Got it.
Yeah.
And Nancy, do you have a question? I do, yes. You were born August 2nd, 51 at 10:05 p.m.
Right.
Perfect. Now, Nancy, do you have a question about an issue, or would you just like a general reading today?
Yes, actually, my question is, do you see any kind of major residential move within the next year for me, maybe out of state?
Okay, all right, let's take a look at that one. Beretta, what you got?
All right, Nancy.
I think you'll have a couple places that you may need. No, let me rephrase that. I think you have a couple places that you'll want to consider should you not be able to utilize your first choice. I think it'll take a little longer than you think, and you may actually be led down a path, or you may take make a decision to get a house or something before it's time and need to restart things again. So I think you have a destination in mind already. I think you're waiting for an opportunity to be presented. And it feels to me like you're also in a position to possibly be able to ignore like what everybody else would have to do to make this happen. So your situation is a little bit different. So it's definitely going to happen. And whatever the situation is that's slowing your obstacle down, or off time frame that lapses that you have to wait and then you can leave, you're fine. You're going to be fine. It'll just take a little longer than you think. So, Ernesto, okay. Maybe you can give her a little bit more.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, sure. Now, Nancy, are you thinking about moving state? Is that kind of what prompted the question?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Okay. So let me take a look here. So as far as, like, there's a number of formulas that I could check for this as far as, like, a move is concerned. Now, when we look particularly at this axis point in terms of your chart, I want to say that if you're going to move, it's going to be because of a man or because of a work-related opportunity. Like there's, I don't know, perhaps, like some volunteer position or, you know, something related to what you would, whatever you would call work. I know, because I know I believe you're retired, if I remember correctly. So,
yeah, that's true.
You know, like you're not really going to work in a traditional sense. So whatever you would find, like as far as a new residence or new location is concerned, it's going to feel like that there is a job attached to it. You know, like perhaps this is something to do with spiritual groups or metaphysics or, you know, like other people who do astrology, mm-hmm. let's say, you know, like something like that. that would be the type of thing that's going to draw you in. Or it could also be due to a man also. I could also feel that, you know, this male energy, that this would probably be somebody who is sick, you know, like somebody who maybe has like some illness or, you know, some ongoing care needs that you could address for them. And that would be the whole thing about moving. Bretta, do you pick anything else up about like possibly taking care of somebody in a new move?
So generally, I think what I'm picking up, the time frame that she's waiting for, probably will have to do with work, is work related. And yes, I don't think that she'll actually end up being where she'll go alone. So I agree with you. I think somebody's coming down the line. I think that, you know, in relation to whatever it is she's waiting for, whether it's a retirement or house sale or whatever, I do think that there's something new or more at the end of this road. I just think, like I said, it'll take a little bit longer. I do think you're going to end up in your first choice location. I do think you'll end up there. I just think it's just going to happen a little bit later than you anticipated or intended it to.
Interesting. Yeah, I had a couple places in sight, like Arizona, for instance, and that would be totally on my own. But then you say that maybe I'll be going with somebody. So, you know, you never know.
Where are you at right now?
I'm in Oregon.
Okay. Let's see.
The other place was Oklahoma, but that would be closer to my daughter. But I'm not so sure about that.
If you did move,
okay.
Out of state.
Yeah, I think it's out of state too. I'm really getting the impression that you're at the end of the road where you're at now in Oregon. Intention-wise, you know, there's really nothing more for you. You might as well go and do and be and be happy with that. I think Arizona would be good for you. I don't know. However, I think Arizona would be good for you. However, when you say be closer to my daughter, that makes sense when I get the impression that wherever you're going to go, then you're going to be with somebody. You're not necessarily going there to be with somebody, but that would make sense what I was feeling before. So you may end up in Oklahoma, honey.
That's fine, too. You know, I wasn't sure. You know, I was just kind of putting it out there. I would like to be close to my daughter because we're really close, so. Yeah.
I think most likely that's where you'll go. Probably.
Yeah, and Nancy, I'm taking a look at the stuff that's happening in the sky right now. And so Pluto is in retrograde right now, and it goes direct again on the 9th of October, so that's a week from today. Nothing really too significant there, but if you're watching our YouTube cast, you can see then that Pluto will kind of take a while. It'll really never finish its trek throughout the sign of Capricorn this year. It just won't. It's too slow. So what that means is, you know, in a qualitative sense, is that, you know, change Pluto for capitalism, Capricorn, you know, like we won't see the full effects of that influence until next year. So what that also means is that, you know, like not only just capitalism, but, you know, like money related matters, that those are also going to be put on the forefront during that Pluto direct influence. So all of the stuff that's mm-hmm. been kind of stuck and just not moving forward, that's going to start to see some new movement. So where I'm going with this is the fact that if you look at the chart and these things that I've added here, once this Pluto by transit, I'll highlight some black, once that starts to move down by transit a couple of degrees, not a whole lot, but maybe just like 1 or 2 or 3 degrees, like right to be about there. That'll probably be like mid next year. And I can confirm that more in the ephemeris, but what that's going to mean is that the Pluto influence for you is really going to line up in the way that it's supposed to for something like a change of location. So that is definitely absolutely coming to you this next year. So one thing I can say with reasonable scientific certainty is that a move is definitely in the cards for you next year. And also going along with, you know, more of, is it out of state? Yes, it definitely is, because those green circles of pollen, that's going to be distance. And that was definitely up, came up 3 times in relation to a question that I asked of your chart about moving. So you will start to see some conversations and, you know, new things about moving, you know, like that's a dialogue that you're going to start having. And don't be afraid of it, you know, because this is, like Veretta was saying, that this is truly like you've done everything that you can do where you're at right now. So it's time to start a new chapter. A lot of us, you know, who have subscribed to the show, this is a common theme that we're going through. And it's going to be happening for you as well, that next year is going to be your time that you're going to get acquainted with a new space. So, I, Nancy, I hope that you're ready for this, because you've got some big things in store for you.
Yeah, I'm ready. Yeah. So that makes a lot of sense. No, I thank you very much.
Okay, for sure. All right. Be sure to give us a call back in the future and let us know how it turns out.
Okay, will do.
All right. Well, catch up with you soon. Bye. Take care. Okay, all right, Veretta, are you still there?
Yeah, I am here.
Okay, perfect. So, quick question. So, while we're still waiting for people to get in, have you ever heard of this thing? And I forget, there's a specific name for the modality or the practice, but I have always been of the belief that I strive to be 1% better than what I was yesterday. It comes from Japan. It's like this whole science of mind kind of thing. And I just tell myself, if I'm 1% better than what I was yesterday, then I've done a good job today. If I didn't, then I get an F. So have you ever heard of such a thing before? And do you know the name of it or what I'm even talking about?
Oh, I do not. Not when you describe it like that. It doesn't sound familiar at all. But it sounds like a good philosophy to keep you going and motivate you forward.
You know, a friend of mine got me into it recently. Like, I've been doing some belief change sessions recently, and it's been kind of enlightening. And so one thing that I've always done is, let me strive to be 1% better than what I was yesterday, even if today isn't really great, you know, because remember that whoever's judging what makes 1% better or worse, well, that's me. So by my standards, everything is just mediocre. And so for that reason, I know that there's a reasonable expectation I can be 1% better today than what I was yesterday. And I keep doing that all the time, you know, like, and that's just very simply by, like, I don't feel like doing this thing for me that I know isn't healthy, but I do it anyway because it's a vice. So I don't need it, so I'm going to walk away from it. And that's a win, right? So that's 1% being better. And I've always lived by that. And I've just found it always to be helpful that not necessarily to have, you know, like a rubric or, you know, something really structured that, like, I have to check all of these things off or else I'm not a good boy. Well, yeah, I don't do that, because that's really super polarized thinking, and that doesn't really help anybody. That just makes you go crazy at the end of the day. So I'm a realist when it comes to a lot of these things. I'm actually quite good at taking a shower with a raincoat on. So if anybody is going to be able to help you through the process of changing when you really don't want to, it's going to be me. So I do have another question to that. Since I always strive to be 1% better than what I was yesterday, am I the same person?
Sure you are. Only modified. All right, no, you're not exactly the same. However, yes, you are. You're modified into that newer version. That
now,
make sense?
It does, yes, but did I create that, or did my consciousness create it?
One and the same. One and the same. So what people have to realize is that the ego and the soul, if you will, or the higher self, or whatever you want to call that term that isn't you but exists of you, they're all one and the same. They intervene, they intertwine, they work as each other.
Okay.
They can focus on with intent, ego anyway, can focus with intent on a subject. The soul's along for the ride, period. The soul's along for the ride. It's really hoping that you as a conscience with an ego can make it through the strife and not beat your body up too entirely bad.
So what do we do then if we're kind of stuck in like see, this is funny. Like I was running through situations in the past where somebody had hired me to do some work and they wanted to know like, when should I publish my book? Right. And of course it was during a Mars retrograde. And that's one of the things that you should not do, right. Is release something new. That's not wise. It's just not. So anyway, this person, you know, I was telling her, I said, you know, you might want to wait until Mars goes direct again, and that'll be in another 8 weeks or whatever the time frame was. And she says, no, I can't do that. It has to be right now. So this is an issue that we run into. So like we have obviously ideal timing for when things should play out. And, you know, there's like positive planetary influences where things can go start to work more in your direction as opposed to working against you. But some people are of the belief it has to be right now or else it's never going to happen again. And I understand that, you know, that a lot of that is usually related to finances or time management skills or lack thereof. But what do we do in life when we're stuck in a situation where we just can't get out of it? You know, like I have to inject myself with poison, even though I know that there are better things that I can be doing with my time. I have to do it anyway because there is no other way for me to pick up this information source here. So I have to do it anyway. So my question is, when people are in, you know, these really dire straits and they're being forced to do things against their own will, even though the chart says otherwise, you know, like arguably the free will element of it was that, you know, we were going to plan it when it had bad timing and we were going to do things when we had bad timing anyway. Like we don't have to get into that discussion, but to soften the blow of all of those red flags and obstacles, how do we pull through situations that aren't time the best?
And it's an easy answer. It's just, you know, to solve this type of riddle, it's an easy answer to say. It's just not one to do. And the reality is when you're hitting strife, you've got to look at why and try your best to get out of it. Nothing seems to work for you. Then you got to look at what that lesson is. And the lesson won't stop until it's over. So when people keep stubbing their toe and they literally know why they stubbed their toe, they've got to move the furniture 2 inches back and they'd be fine, but they don't want to move the furniture 2 inches back. They want to keep doing what they're doing the way they do it. And no, they don't want to change or amend the process. They just want to do it the way they think it needs to be done. And people find that they run into, you know, shortfalls, obstacles, walls, whatever. And you have to remember, the simple answer is you have to remember everything happens for a reason. In its place, in its time, there's a point to your strife. What is it? What's the point? Now, when you are emotional and rattled and full of fret with, you know, you're at the edge of anger and ready to give up, you're not so able to look at that with the fundamental reason everything happens, you know, in its time. So even that's a lesson. What are you learning from that? Well, you're learning to let go of control. You're learning to let go of everything happens in your time. You're learning to let go of things that make those obstacles and shortfalls and walls. And when then, therefore, hopefully, if you're learning how to not respond in a negative manner when they happen the first time, you work through it, and they're not there anymore. They may have to be things you wait for. They may be things you negotiate around. They may be things that make you review what you really thought you were wanting to do. But they're not punitive punishment from spirit, and it's not. This is what I hear a lot. This is I hear a lot in my counseling and my sessions. But I did everything I was supposed to. I did it all right. How come I'm not getting what I wanted? What did you do it for? Did you do it because you wanted something, or did you do it because it was right? Well, I did what was right, so I should get something for it. No. No, it doesn't work that way. So with your question, what do you do when you get, you know, you have struggle? What is the point of that? What do you do to survive? You kick it into neutral. You quit pushing so hard. You start going the path of least resistance until such a time that it feels like you're catching tread again and you're able to move forward. Don't beat yourself up. Don't run yourself in your mind going crazy, wondering what you did wrong or what you missed. Just keep doing what you can to fill your time. And if that means you have to get a hobby because you're a productive person that has to fill every square moment with doing something, then get a hobby. Don't, you know, if you're stalled out at work and your personal life is benign, you got nothing to do, you go nowhere, get a freaking hobby. Don't whine and cry about what's not working for you. Just stay busy.
I love it when people, you know, moan and complain that Uranian astrology is no good because, you know, like everything that I told them isn't true. And then I didn't tell the person that, you know, that they were also going to have a heart attack. Well, firstly, one, you were so fixated on this other work-related question that you weren't going to hear anything else. And number
anything
two, you
else.
Didn't
yeah.
hire me. You didn't hire me for a full analysis. We use 8,000 formulas. So if you expect me to pick up a heart attack related to a work question, I may see cues of that. But, you know, that's a separate analysis. So you actually have to hire us for that. That's one of the differences between us and other astrologers is that you ask a question and you get an answer. Everything else, get the hell out. So that's just kind of how this works. So when people, like, try to make the argument that the astrology is not real and that it's not true and that all this other stuff, well, think about what you're doing. I mean, these are the same kinds of people who like to light a house on fire and then point the finger at somebody else and say they didn't do it. We know what that looks like in the American political scene. So, unfortunately, that seems to have leaked out into our society, and it's creating a problem. I mean, like I always say, the biggest problem in today's world is truly not AIDS. It's not COVID. It's none of that stuff. It's the lack of personal accountability or being willing to accept it. So, and I just don't think we teach that anymore. So it's kind of unfortunate that everybody's turned into such little snowflakes. But unfortunately, that's also what society's done too, is the fact that, you know, like, let's not have the scary conversation about, you know, you being responsible for your actions. Let's just bury our head in the sand and point the finger, because that's what we're really good at here.
Yeah. And they frustrate. People frustrate easy because it isn't going the way they wanted. And that's where, again, that's where you have to step back. All right, what's the lesson in this? What should I be learning? And people, well, that's just dumb. You don't learn everything, and you don't learn something in everything you do. Yeah, you can. You actually can. It just depends upon what you're opening up and willing to do.
That's true.
When I read in the moment, when I read in the moment, I utilize every aspect of my psychic sensitivity that I can to bring information. And I think if people understood that's what they needed to do to receive what they need versus look out the, like you said, ask one specific question but want to see the entire thing out of view. You can't just look out the window and see the world from it and then wonder why it is that it didn't come within your view. Well, it's because you weren't out there seeing it. So, yeah, there's that. It's all good. No more nag.
I know, yeah, just do the work, you know, just be responsible and we won't get on your back anymore. It's very simple. And then why people take such offense to this and then think that, you know, we're cold-hearted people. It's like, you know, I'm sorry, we're just trying to do the right thing here.
Yeah, and I have had helping people You know, when, well, how can you be that way? That's just bad. You can't, that's just a cop-out. That's just you not taking responsibility for your action. No, that is me taking 100% responsibility with knowledge of my action and intent not to do it anymore, to improve the situation. So when people come at me about how I can be a little bit cold, which I really don't get that as much as people could if they wanted to, because I am. I mean, I feel I just deliver, like you, the whole cold, hard fact, but I honestly try to do it in such a manner that people can take it in and not feel criticized by that, and because you're not going to get somebody to listen if you're pissing them off, and help them understand there are choices. They have better ways to do things than what they're doing now that apparently isn't working so well for them. So I try not to be as callous as I could be, for sure, but there are times I am, and I definitely know when I need to be to initiate and establish boundaries. And if somebody puts me in the position to have to reinforce my boundaries in a cold, calculated manner, okay, so be it. I'm not going to fight with people about it. I'm just going to do what I got to do. Move on. You hired me to tell you something. I'm telling you something, and that I am not responsible for other than to tell you what I receive. You are 100% responsible on how you apply it or employ it, and that's not on me. That's not on me.
And
so,
also,
yeah,
you know,
it may be cold to hear, but it's on them to decide how to use it.
And I don't know about you, Veretta, but, you know, I am not the type of person that I will, you know, like I'll drop a client, you know, who wants to hire me to hold their hand through this really scary territory while they do all these things, and they come back every week with more and more questions about all these things that they shouldn't be doing and these new issues. Like, I just walk away from that. I know some people are wired to sort of work with others in that regard, but, you know, like in good faith, I cannot guide you towards something that is ill-advised in your chart. You know, like, that's just a hard rule with me. Other people would love to take your money, but I am not one of them. I'm just willing to, you know, say, yeah, I think you're going to have to work with somebody else here.
Yeah. So the only ones that I have actually, I've asked for Spirit to help me release them as, you know, any kind of responsibility or client, were people that just wanted to pay me to talk. They just wanted someone to listen to them, and I couldn't do it. They didn't want to hear me. They didn't want to ask me questions. They wanted nothing other than to talk to someone that was not going to criticize them about anything talking metaphysical, spirituality, or any of that. They just don't have people around them or, you know, environment to where they can share that side of themselves. So back in the day in VQ, though, the people that would want to sit and, yeah, the kind of people you're describing now, I didn't have a choice to let go of, to ask not to have in my space. So when I saw somebody coming from my table and I knew who they were and what they wanted, I would literally like, please, God, give me something. If I am supposed to help them, give me something that I can say. Otherwise, please give me the patience to sit here for the 20 minutes or the half hour or whatever long it was for them to get through purging and get away from my table. That practice right there helped me understand that at some point in the future, which is today, that I would be in a position to have to listen to people that I just didn't even that were just full of mental illness and had no one in any way to talk to other than a captive audience. And I would get right to the heart of the matter. And now, this day and age, because my schedule is as tight as it is and my clientele is as large as it is, if I take someone on that I know for a fact is going to struggle with everything I say, is not going to hear me in any manner, then defiant or belligerent, I am going to have to decline that client. I'm at a point now to where I really am not in a position to be able to entertain that kind of hostility or energy. And in no manner are they missing anything? Because they can go to anyone and treat them that way. So it's not that they need me to have for that outlet. I keep a clientele base of people that I know need my input or ability to maintain a connection to spirit, and amount of that that will help them indefinitely. So I don't, I really haven't, I can't even remember, maybe 2-3 years ago was the last time I kind of had to ask spirit to help someone walk away from me. So, and they did, And it's worked like that for me. I have a very nice working relationship at this point with spirit, and I'd like to keep it that way to help protect me from the things that I don't need to endure. Well, and the rest, I just see it as something I need to know.
You know, it's funny that, you know, like it really at the end of the day, you and I, we're just customer service reps is what we're doing, except we're not working in retail. We're just doing a different style of customer service, like doctors provide customer service, webcam models provide customer service, sex workers provide customer service. We just don't really think of it in those terms, but that's really what we're doing. Like when I worked in the retail center for so many years, I can totally understand, you know, what would cause somebody to be belligerent, that, you know, that they disagree with a company policy that's actually written really badly and just kind of damages the consumer at the end of the day, to where they get hurt and they're out money. It's unfortunate when you have to deliver those types of messages, but I can only imagine, you know, like the customer service that's associated with something like working in VQ, which is this giant retail space where people can walk in and, you know, get readings whenever they feel like it. So, you know, like when you think about like people complaining about a stupid pair of shoes or, you know, some garment or some other, you know, retail material item. Well, I can understand, you know, working with people in that way. But when you think about, you know, like just all of the insanity and really truly anything that is involved with people at a general level, that they're going to bring you everything that they can possibly bring you. And so let's just say that I probably would have broken or gone crazy if I had worked in that type of environment in my past, and I wouldn't be where I am today hosting the show. So, you know, like kudos to you to working that for so many years. And I'm glad that you had the life experience that you needed to be able to get yourself through that without exploding on anybody.
Well, I'll tell you what, it was definitely an education, and without it, I wouldn't be as well-rounded as I am. And so I am thankful for the hostility, the combative, everything negative you can think of in that type of environment, although you would have thought it would have been, in metaphysical terms, you would have thought it been more spiritual. But it is what it is. It shaped me, and it got me to here. And I know for a fact that, you know, down the road, I can say that VQ got me the education I needed in a quick amount of time. And that was evident by my clientele then. In those days, you had to keep your numbers up. You had to have a referral and a turnaround and a return rate to maintain your position. And I did actually have somebody complain about me once. In my early years, someone walked up to the owner of the store and said, I don't know what kind of person she is. And I was relatively new, and the owner said, she's whatever she said, you know, da, da, da. And she says, well, everything she told me I knew. Everything she said, I know. And so the owner's recanting this to me with this attitude. And I said, okay, so I told her everything I told her was true. Yeah, apparently so, the owner said. Okay, so she validated me in that everything that I said was true. And then she thought about it for a minute. Well, yeah, you did exactly what you were paid to do. You were paid to be a psychic and tell her things that you couldn't possibly know about her. And I did. And so, you know, retail customer service, you bet. You bet. People are going to complain no matter what you do. No matter what you do, people are going to complain, no matter how right it is.
Yeah, I mean, and that was basically the job, was just processing customer complaints all day. And it eats away at your soul, you know, and it's just sort of like when everybody is venting and negative, then eventually, you know, I just turn into, let's be a robot, because if I eliminate any and all emotion from my tone, then people can't connect with me and the empathy doesn't matter because they just know they're not going to get it. So...
Yeah.
It leads to burnout very fast. And, you know, like unfortunately, it chips away at your character. You know, like even the people that I lived with would agree that I was a prickly person to get along with. You know, it wasn't easy when, you know, when you always have it coming at you. And I'm a very positive person for what it's worth. So when people are, you know, venting, which is something that I do not allow in my life ever, because that's just like people want to complain for the sake of complaining. Well, there's the door, there's the bridge, there's whatever you need to do to get out of my personal breathing space. I don't do that. And the reason why is because, you know, like people want to vent and it's just like, so I can provide a solution for you. I can provide you a game plan. Let's try to do something to change this feeling, to change this narrative or dialogue that you're going through right now. But then if you just want to, you know, like be emotional for the sake of being emotional, just to be crazy, then I'm going to walk away because I just don't do that. So that's one difference between me and, you know, a lot of other people out there, is just that I just don't put up with it. I put up that wall. And so especially when you're dealing with this in a retail space, that people want to be complain and be negative all day long, your entire shift. And then you just realize, hi, thanks for calling Acme. Please say your inquiry as specifically as possible. And then people don't know what that says. And you have to repeat that about three more times. And then you say, I'm really sorry, but I'm unable to assist you. Please try your call again later. Take care and goodbye. Hang up.
Yep.
I honestly don't know how I got away with all of that.
Yeah, you're just you're so smooth with that. No, so nonchalant. There you go. Bye bye. Now click. And I love it. I love that you're that way. That's just perfect. It's perfect, hon.
You know, I'm an ice king when I need to be, and I'm very good at it because I'm super nice about it. So like people really can't read my emotions at all. So we have another caller here. Let's get off to our phone line. I believe this is caller from area code 904. Hi, you're on the Uranus Happens Show. May I have your name and date of birth? Hello?
Is anybody out there?
Hello?
Hello? Hi, welcome. You're on the show. May I have your name and date of birth?
Hi, Stacy, 1216. Do you need the year?
No, I got you. Stacy, you're up here. 12/16/72 at 8:30 p.m.?
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. All right. And Stacy, would you like a general reading today, or do you have a question about an issue?
Hey, you go ahead with the general, please. Thank you.
Okay, perfect. All right. Bretta, take it away.
All right, Stacy.
Hi.
General. Hi. Okay. All right, darling. So as I kind of pick your energy up and I tune in, I feel like I want to tell you I'm getting the information from, it's got to be somebody in spirit, but I'm feeling like I want to tell you this too shall pass. And take a breath, and as you breathe in, just kind of exhale, but just remember that this wave of nonchalant is almost over. It's almost over. There was either a point to it or a point to the lull in your time frame to be mundane, or there was like a calm before the storm kind of thing, or there was a need to get you a little bit unsettled with your plateau. Your foundation is what I want to say. Get you a little unsettled with your foundation so you can think on your feet for what's to come. Now, what's to come, maybe yours specifically, maybe just in general, but you're going to have a role in that, whatever that is, and nonetheless, the role is important enough for you to be alert and aware for. So I think what you'll hear from Ernesto may be a little more specific and give you a better idea about the lull and what that was for, and then what is to come that's going to shake the lull off and wake you up. I think it'll be more productive, no matter what it is, I feel like you're full, whether that's in time frame, in emotion, life's meaning, I don't know. But it feels very, some of it is uncomfortable, but not uncomfortable like it's overbearing or something you can't do. It'd be like just carrying something a little bit heavy, uncomfortable. And it won't be full-time term either. It's not something that'll be strictly on you. It'll be like proportioned out. That'll be your share to carry. So I don't know what this is about. It sounds nebulous, I know, but it feels to me like you got something coming. Just hang in there for whatever's going on now. It will change for you. Things will happen that will make life for you different, and that's what you'll focus on. So maybe Ernesto can give you a time frame for that, and I'll send it to you, Ernesto.
Okay, sure. So, Stacey, taking a look at your chart and seeing what's going on right now, are you troubled, or are you having questions about a move today?
No, I'm not. No.
Are you seeking employment? Is that what you're looking for?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So I see you in some type of work. I want to say that this is like a promotion. This is a step up of what you've done in the past. This is definitely above and beyond like your normal skill level. So, you know, whatever type of work that you would apply for, I don't want to say it's in something that's in management, although it could be if you stuck within the same position that you're in. But, you know, let's say that you punched up your resume to work in a different department in a company, you know, like this could open up some new opportunities for you. And I do feel that you are going to have, there may be conversations related to a move, you know, like that there is a company out there that you would apply for and they say, well, we have this position, but it's in, you know, ABC location, which is not where you are. And there's going to be some conversations that you'll have about this because of that big Mercury element. And then, you know, you've also got this Jupiter, which is in retrograde, but it'll go direct again. So this is also going to bring some influence here that you're going to have good luck with conversations about work. So my advice to you in this whole process is look for work that is not what you're used to. So like whatever your job title is, think about that job title within a company. But think about all of the other associated departments that back up that job title and then figure out, now, how do I get myself into these other departments? I feel you doing more admin type of stuff, that this is where you're really going to benefit in doing that. And I know that I believe your expertise is in legal contracts or something along those lines. So this would also be, you know, like if you just straight up went into, you know, like legal work, if you just decided, I don't want to work for, you know, like this company, I just want to work in law. If you did that, that would also be something that you would be qualified for too. Again, not the normal type of job that you would do, but if you just decided to work for a law office, you would be successful with that. So that would be another domain that you could put your head into also.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right, for sure. Stacey, is there anything else that we can help you out with tonight, or was that it?
You said good communications, you know, good communication. What do you see in regards to communication and relationship? Because it just seems like relationship and communications are like shot.
Okay, all right. Brett, did you have anything for that one?
In general, you've been dealing with Mercury retrograde. Specifically, It was, again, what I was referencing to getting you unsettled and off, you know, like get you a little bit more ready for what's to come. So communications have been awful because that's part of what the
okay.
You get it.
Yeah. Okay. So, Stacey, also taking a look at, you know, communications and relationships. The other thing too is the fact that You know, I struggle with this a lot, you know, that mm-hmm. people don't understand what I say to them. And then I think to myself, okay, so maybe I'm just not using the right words. Well, you know,
yeah.
communication does work both ways. Just as much
True.
As it is my responsibility as the speaker to make sure that you understand what's being said, it is your responsibility as the listener to pay attention to the conversation. I'm a pretty high energy person. So, you know, like if you get left in the dust, that's your fault, not mine. I may slow down for you if you're nice, but good luck, because that usually doesn't happen. And Beretta could even tell you stories from when she taught me how to channel many years ago. I think you made a comment, Beretta, like, you know, most people who channel don't do it at this rate of speed or something like that. Or can I get you to slow down? And the answer was no. And it's been like that ever since. So, you know, like my advice to you as far as the communication is concerned is if you need to have longer conversations with people, you know, if you need to sort of draw things out to really make sure that they understand, then do that. I would say that, you know, like really the issue that's being created here right now is somewhat avoidable. And it's just because that, you know, like you're in a rush to get off and to do the next thing that, you know, you're kind of forgetting that, you know, you need to spend time with people to make sure that they get it. So if you can spend more time with them to just make sure that they understand or really just re-explain things to them, then they would really benefit from that. And I think that that'll also make a big impact on your communication skills as a whole. It's just the fact that they're moving too fast and people aren't paying attention because, you know, you're off to the next thing. So my advice is, you know, just slow down and spend some time with them.
I'll see, because most of them are like know-it-alls, so I just get to the point I just ignore them because, it's just too much.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, so.
Okay, well, Stacey, be sure to give us a call back and let us know how it turns out. We'll be here Wednesday night for our next show.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, take care. Until next time. Good night.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right. So let me take a look here. Everything is on fire. No, here we go. Now, yay. I just want to let everybody know that if you are watching on Facebook or YouTube, be sure to give us a call here on the show so we can get you in on the air. It's area code 563-999-3070. And we will be here until 2 p.m. for about the next 45 minutes or so. Now, let's see. I believe that we have – okay, no, that's taken care of. Great. So one more thing.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi. Hey. This is Jessica from Pennsylvania.
Jessica, perfect.
Hi, Jessica.
All right, so I just now got you. I'm so glad that you called us tonight. Now, I believe we've spoken to you before. Now, Jessica, quick question. Would you like a general reading or do you have a question about an issue?
I wanted to see an update as far as when you see me moving.
Perfect. All right, great. Retta, what you got?
Moving for Jessica. November. Right on. So now, wait, before you like, oh, really? Okay, so I heard January 5th first, literally. Moving days, January 5th. January 4th, you're going to come to some conclusion about what you're doing. So then when I backed up off of that and asked for a different type of input to validate that information, feel that it's as close as November, depending upon what you're doing. So it looks like you'll have choice.
Are you seeing a great house come into play, or am I just taking something just to, like, move on?
That may be why I think you're taking something just to get by, and then I think your actual move is in January.
Well, I don't think that there would be anything just to get by. I think if I took something, it would end up being like, okay, here's a lease, because I'm in a place to get by right now.
Then that may be why it's you're in a personal, you're in a position that it will be a personal, like seeing what you want it to be, a personal approval choice, like, well, this is what I'd like to have. I don't, like, you're living in the get by now. I don't want to continue with that. Yes, this gets me closer, but if I wait just a little bit longer, I don't have to do anything twice. So I don't know what, you may find something in November. I don't know what that means. Maybe Ernesto can give you a little bit more. Do you know where you're going yet?
Well, yeah, I mean, I know the area. It's just a little bit, it's maybe 30 minutes away. It's close.
Is it
thing hasn't appeared yet that has.
You? Yeah.
I'm not sure how it would be on the map.
Okay, so hang on. If I were look, is it west of you?
I think it's actually a little, it's north and then a little bit east. But it's really gotten to the point, like, so I was like, okay, I'm getting this house. I really want to get settled. I want this, like, sanctuary, peaceful place. But I'm at the point now that I'm like, what can we just pick that's, like, somewhat in the area that would be,
what
you
want.
Know,
yeah.
Suitable.
I can do a lot more. Where exactly do you want? Where are you right now?
I'm in Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania. All right. And where in Pennsylvania do you want to go?
I just want to be going more where I was living before, like, which is like a little bit more country and trees and like, yeah. Just like
and
more trees. It's more north, northeast-ish. It's like
where
I want to be is sort of on the New Jersey border, like right around there.
All right. You're not going that far north. You're not going that far east either.
It's all in the same area. It's not far. It's like 20 minutes away. It's like it's just out of where I am right now.
I think you're going back closer to Maryland. So now maybe or even – to the middle of Philly. I mean, to the middle of Pennsylvania. Maybe Ernesto can give you a better idea right now. So what I did was I pulled up the map and looking at the energy that surrounds you. You need to go inland, darling. Or more west. Look at more west of where you're at. Or west of where you're wanting. And I think you may find you've got a house waiting right there for you.
I mean, I'm kind of like I've been working with the universe to like walk, like do it with the universe. But again, I think it's kind of like, well, how long are you going to wait for that to happen? And I've just been thinking, you know, hey, just maybe pick something. Because I've been presented with options. None of them were good. So it wasn't even like I could really say yes to any of them.
Right. But that's probably a lot of what those options were presented for was to allow you to say no, they're no good, and not just subtle.
Right.
So
I agree with
sure
that.
Yeah. I'm not sure if you heard what Ernesto and I were talking about earlier, and I really want Ernesto to be able to answer your question, but we were talking about the fact that, you know, we'll get calls where people are, I'm waiting, or I'm doing what I'm supposed to, and nothing. So this is what I'm going to tell you. You are being presented with the opportunity to go where you want and do what you want, and you could. And you're being presented with the opportunity to go which will service you, which you could. So your mindset is, I want to go where I want. I'm not looking anywhere else outside of that. I'm telling you right now, instead of look out of the window, open the door and go west of you to see what may be there, because you could be missing out on something exactly like you want, but because you're not willing to look in that area or even accept that it could be as good or better, then you won't go. So let Ernesto answer your question, because he may be able to give you more detail, and that will be a lot easier for you. So Ernesto, can you
sure, yeah.
Can you do that?
Wait, before you head off, though, do you think that I, because I kind of get different readings on this, like myself, I'm saying. I have been applying and interviewing for jobs, and one minute it's like, well, see where you get the job, and then I think the house is going to open right after that. And then as I'm like kind of waiting for the job and interviewing, and it's like, you know, there's like a delay or a process, or I'm re-manifesting something with the job, then I'm thinking, just go move. And who cares how far you're driving for work? So it seems like the two are so connected to one another. But then I'm thinking, why does it even have to be like that? Like, it's just, I think at a certain point you have to say, okay, we're just doing this because it's like enough already, you know?
That's exactly right. If you're going to multiple psychics and you're getting multiple input, regardless whether they're psychics or just friends
I'm saying
or whatever.
I'm saying it. I'm psychic. I'm getting the reading.
All right.
Yeah.
Then what you need to do is shut down the input. Because if you're getting multiple styles and multiple entries of input, then you need to shut down all the input and go quiet. Go under radar for a while. Don't ask for anything. Don't ask for anything along those lines. And if you're so ingrained in asking, don't ask for anything at all. I mean, shut it down, period, so you can go dark and reconnect with your primary guides and start to remember which voice you want to listen to that's actually acting on your best good. Because it sounds to me like you're getting a little overwhelmed with multiple entities coming in and giving you input, and they're all fine, but they're not all right all the time, or specifically what you need to do for you. So I think you're on track of shutting it all down. Just sit in quiet for a while. Like I said, I feel like you've got something coming just right down the pike. I don't know if work, it won't be available for a while, but you'll get a job after you get your house. So now, having that been said, I'm going to give it to Ernesto, and he might give you a little bit more.
Yeah, I like what you said about that shutting it down, because I've definitely been doing that. I'm like, let me just sit in silence and ask for anything. Just sit here, and you tell me what to do or whatever. I'm going to, like, forget all the desires since we're manifesting a lot of things right now, or just, like, let it just – you tell me my soul, and I just sit in silence.
Yep.
Yeah,
well,
thank you.
Okay, sure. So, Jessica, taking a look here at your chart, the question about moving. So there's a lot of – I'm somewhat unsure how to read this, because this speaks to me like the where that orange dot is on our YouTube stream, that arrow is in between two different green arrows, which are both separate questions about moving. So we're looking at that midpoint. And what you see is that I've drawn some black squares with an arrow from one square to the next. That's Uranus and Metos. That's kind of like, that's suppression. That's terror. That's, like sudden breaks. That's earthquakes. That's a lot of really challenging energies here. So I'm taking a look at that. And then, you know, what shows up is the midpoint on this axis. Is you've got Mars, but then also not too far from that, you've also got Hades. So this is, you know, going to bring in some somewhat dangerous energy. This could also bring, work with spirituality. So if you wanted to talk about, you know, like the more positive end of what that access point is going to mean, that this location, this place could bring the sudden end of an activity, is what that would mean. So that would mean like somebody is forced to stop working because, you know, conditions just aren't supportive. In your case, I sort of wonder, you know, if like there's some issues with like lack of access to like metaphysical groups or any of those types of channels that, you know, that you would be cut off and that there would be, you know, some stoppage of those types of activities. You know, Jessica, to be really honest, you know, like as far as the move is concerned, I want to say that there's a lot of headache that's going to be associated with this. I just want to warn you about that in advance, that this is going to be difficult and there's going to, it's not going to be smooth sailing, unfortunately. I think once you get going, it'll be fine. But the first part, you're just going to feel like it's really just kind of, I am drowning and there is an earthquake happening at my feet too. You know, like there's just too much going on. I do think you will prevail, but, you know, just be prepared for, you know, like what you're saying, you know, I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to go for it. I don't care. I'm going to get off this pot and I'm just going to do it. You know, like that's kind of the energy that you need to have because things are really sort of wishy-washy and unclear at this moment. So, you know, you just sort of waiting to do anything, that's going to sort of, it's going to backfire on you where it's going to create regret and it's going to create, more importantly, despair because, you know, like you kick yourself and you beat yourself up that you didn't act when you had this this window of opportunity. Well, and that's just because, you know, you need to push forward in that. There are some challenging energies. And remember, like I always say, if it gets to become too real, bury your head in the sand, take a time out. That is okay to just kind of walk away from it. I think that, you know, you still have an opportunity right now to do a little bit of research to get a lot of the headache work finished. So that's like, you know, regarding your location where you're going to be living, your job, transportation, you know, where you're going to be in terms of the city that you'll be living in. You know, you can get a lot of that pre-planning work done now, and that'll definitely save a lot of the heartache in this whole process because to just jump into this blind and hope for the best, truly good luck if that's going to be your outlook, because I think that that's going to be really distressing. And that the whole thing about the move right now, and I also do agree that between like now and let's say end of January is going to be the time when you're going to make the move, and also that don't force yourself to commit to one location, that it's going to be this place. Because I also get the sense that, you know, like many of the places that you're going to move into, there's going to be something that's just straight up wrong with it. It's busted in some way, like the water doesn't work, or, you know, the utilities don't work in this room, or, you know, it's too far from grocery stores, or from my job, or whatever it's going to be. There's going to be issues with wherever you live, and you just have to accept the fact that you're not getting everything that you asked for. It's just not happening. And you will start to get more of what you want, but that's going to take time. And you'll start to get a sense of that through your own experiences where you realize, oh, well, that was a mess. I don't ever want to do that again. So you at least can tuck that red flag back into your mental file cabinet so you don't have to go down that path again. But that's, you know, the whole thing about moving for you, Jessica. It'll definitely happen by the end of January of next year. So it's coming up pretty soon here. And you do have the chance to do a lot of that pre-arrangement just to kind of save yourself some heartache in this process.
Wait, so just to clarify something, because so I have been going through this move, like looking for places since May, and it has been a lot of like stress and headaches and blah, blah, blah. So, but it doesn't sound like it's the time is been yet, because you're in one minute you're saying that it's you're going to experience a lot of that funkiness, which I already went through. But so it sounds like you're saying it's not open yet, but then on another hand, you're saying, yeah, now is the time or something. So what is it?
It's both.
It's kind
because,
of
back. Yeah, like you, Jessica, you're going to go.
I'm in storage.
you're going to go through a little bit of crash and burn in the initial stages, and I would expect that. So, you know, you're really just going to kind of dive head first and just go for it. And, you know, like there is going to be all that headache that's associated with it. The biggest advice that I would have for you in this whole process is make sure absolutely certain that, you know, you've got some type of work, you know, steady work lined up, because I see that your job situation becoming very real. Like there's just no work available. Like you just cannot work and there's nothing available nearby. And then that creates another huge problem that you have to then respond to. So, you know, like in terms of, you know, like the time frames, this is the time to be moving and you will be doing that. But like, you know, you're still in the phase of making mistakes. So like that one place that you don't know where that is quite yet, that's not going to open up to you until like after the first of the year. You're still in the experimental phase, and that's just going on till the end of this year.
Okay. Yeah, because I have been going through that with the work thing too. Like there hasn't been any work. I've been applying, and it's been like starts and stops and this and that. That's why I've just been staying where I am right now. And just being like, let me just relax, like, because enough of this already. So, but someone was saying, as far as like another astrologer was saying, oh, well, when those, since this started around the eclipse season, which was May for me, that was when my lease was up. They were like, okay, October 24th is when I would, that was like the prediction to, for the move, that it was going to actually like show. So,
yeah, because yes, I've heard that before.
Are you still seeing funky stuff with the housing in like at the end of October, as well as the funky stuff with the job, and at the end of October?
Okay, sure. Let me take a look at that. So, Veretta, what you got? End of October.
I'm here.
Veretta, are you there? Can you hear me?
Yeah. Sorry. So what I'm getting is, and I was picking up while you were talking, the feeling is that you'll get not a false start, but a little false hope in the time frame. Yes, I do believe things will start culminating this month around the 24th. I do see that I feel like they probably saw something coming. And it was definitely the beginning of what Ernesto has been saying, the funk of the next couple months, and why I felt like you're going to have a couple opportunities. So I'm not sure which one, what it is that you're doing. I think the first one is involving the second one. I just think that you may get started. There may be a bump. You'll have to stall out for a little bit that may piss you off or just at least get you thinking once again in the direction of, nope, I need to just make my mind up and do what I want to do and forget about going according to what seems to be what's right for me. Be patient. Be patient, honey. I feel the happy. I'm going to stand on the first answer I got when you presented the question initially, and that was January 4th or 5th, whatever it was, is moving day, because I got the emotion behind that, and that was whoopee, yippee, it's real this time. It's final this time. There's no more false starts. There's no more agendas. So I just think that you're going to be slipping and sliding until closer to November, when you get the feel in a way that things are really happening, and then December or the end of November, December, your wheels are going to be turning, and it's just not going to feel like you're moving anywhere, doing anything, and finally you're going to get the enlightening moment of understanding that, yes, it's time. It's time to go. Here's the date. Here you go. You're leaving.
And it's interesting that what you're talking about, like those false starts, I've had them all summer, and I wonder why. I don't have the answer for that yet, as far as like why would somebody have to go through that of every single time? It's like this hope and this excitement, and then it's like, nope, not it.
Yep, I do. I know the answer to that. All right, so in my teaching, I've had that question. Basically, it's no, yes and no. Most definitely keep the faith. That's the bottom line answer to every question. But the working, the practicing part of this is you're working on your expectations. All right? They're a killer. and people don't want to hear me when I'm counseling and I'm telling them, and when they're asking, why am I so disappointed? Why does this happen every time I get my hopes up and I get disappointed? Okay, define hope. And then they would tell me what their expectation was. And I would say, you know, that doesn't sound like hope to me. That sounds like expectation. And they'd think about it for a minute. Well, yeah, isn't that what hope is? No, not so much. And once you understand the difference between hope and expectation, that's when it starts to come together. Now, do you know the difference between hope and expectation?
No, I'm actually Googling that now because that was, I like what you said because that has been, I've kind of become numb to the whole thing. That, like, the last time it happened was, like, last week or, like, 2 weeks ago that I was like, this is it, and I'm going to move. Yeah. I'm ready to move tomorrow. I told my realtor, let's move in tomorrow, happen.
Yep.
And then I slept on it, and I was like, oh, no, this is not right.
Right.
But I was, like, I was sort of like, you know what, we'll believe it when it actually happens. And I was like, I don't know, is this the way to be? Because this is just sort of weird. Like, I can't be happy about anything anymore. Like, No.
You can be happy. You have to understand what your happiness is about and where it comes from. Once you understand that we're getting on all kinds of philosophy here. You're getting tapped to 30 years in my PhD in metaphysics. Okay, so this is it. People get to a point to where they go through life experiencing what they seem to think they need, and then when they don't get it anymore, they get pissed off. Then when they realize, if they realize that, indeed, it was just a pacifier, it was time, passing time, until they got to where they needed more of what life was about, and then it gets intense, and we don't want to wait anymore. Everything was pretty easy the first part of our life. What the heck? And I don't mean you had it made in gravy train. I'm not meaning that. I just meant that explicitly. It seems to us that it was hard during our learning years, learning being the ones where we were learning to survive growing up, but then we get to that point to where we seem to believe that there are certain things that we should have to survive. And then the reality is that is not the case. So then when spirit, like I said, when the practicing part of what we're here to learn comes about and spirit starts trying to provide those lessons, we balk. We balk because it's not the same. It's not as easy as it was before. Because you were learning intuitively before, it flowed. Well, now you're having to actually apply some of those lessons in more of a quantum physics mechanical method. It's not so easy. Thank you very much. So we have to come to a point of understanding who we are and then decide if we like that, and if we don't, we can change it. And if not, we have to have pride in who we are, that we are okay. And do not take hits from other people that might say otherwise. And we are not worried about what other people think. And we are not specified to have to maneuver in a special manner, because we are who we are. We'll do what we need. We'll do what we need. So faith is the bottom line, because you have to have faith there is something out there. You have to believe there is a component of source that will provide what we need in the timing that we need it. And let go of the time frame, let go of controlling, let go of our expectations. Because we got something up there that sees what we need, knew our agenda coming into it, gave us permission to be here, and helped provide everything we needed to make it start. The rest was on us, but we still have to understand there's a point here. There's a plot. There's a mission. Yes, you see the shiny. I want the this, that, and something else. But what you really need is not shiny, yet it's more than ample. More than enough. And indeed, it's actually what you might like more. but you won't know until you let go of the thought the shiny is what you need and not what you want. And when you can do that, then their expectations go right out the window. And you're like, ooh, is this what I get? Ooh, ooh, thank you, Spirit. I'm so happy. Thank you, thank you. You're happy in gratitude, not in expectation of. Your happiness is internal, not external. And there lies the problem, my love. Yes, you can get happy about things, but it has to bubble up from inside, not from what you're getting on the outside.
So that's sort of, in a way, that sort of, it's sort of a couple contradictions possibly, because on one hand, then it's like, look it, you're being given all these options, just take one. But then on the other hand, it's like, no, you were offered all these options to get firmer in what you wanted because everything was like sort of off. You didn't feel like good or whatever about this, that, or the other. So like that's, you see how that's like
yes and no. The contradiction may lie in no. It's this is not you're not being punished. You're not being punished in not getting what you want. What you're being offered is indeed what you want. It's just not what it's not what you expect it to look like. You're getting all the offers of everything you could possibly need. Now you're saying, but I've already decided what I want is what I need. No, you decided what you want is what you want, which is fine. That's absolutely okay. And the reality of it is you'll get all of that, every bit of what you want in what you need, if you let go of the expectation. Now, okay, so I hear you. Now let me go into a little more depth. Spirit, again, knows the meaning of your life here. And so therefore it may be that you're not, if you go back to where you think you want to go to be safe, to be happy, to be serene, you're not going to be able to finish your mission. So Spirit's not going to put you in a position to do that. You can choose to. That's what free will is about. But you're not. You're not going to do that. You're not. You're more awake. So you're alert and present. So you know that you can be happy. You should know that you can be happy and get what you want. At this point, you're going to get what you need if you're just open to Spirit allowing it to come. Now, we're creatures of habit. Oh, we're creatures of habit. And we reframe back to what our default system is. And our default system, depending upon who you are, can be as fair as survival and as easy as not overdrawing your bank account. And depending upon who you are, both of those things are life-threatening, seriously. You have to understand that what you're being offered is what you want. It's just not coming in the package you think in that you're needing or you deserve. So what I'm saying to you is open up the thought that what if it is west of where I need to be or where I thought I wanted to be? What if I take a drive and just look? That's all Spirit wants. That's all Spirit wants is you to be open-minded.
That's yeah, I am. Open. And I see the whole map. There's just like there hasn't really been anything listed. That's the whole thing. I mean, I have a preference of where I want to be, but I look at the whole map in the area.
Did you drive? I mean, did you drive around any of those areas?
I was living in the West area, what you're talking about. It's all fine, really. At this point, I don't care. I've had several conversations with my soul just saying, I don't care. I want to have my house. Like, I just want to be comfortable, move my stuff out of storage. I'll go anywhere. I really don't care at this point.
Yeah, and that may be why it took so long. You had to get there. You had to get there to be able to move forward in your frame of mind. So I think you're going to be fine. I feel like you're going to go where you want to go. I feel like if that is closer into the city,
no, it's away from the city. Yeah.
Away from the city? Yeah, up high, up north. You said north, northwest a little?
Yeah, well, northeast or northwest, but it's a way, like, I'm in the city pretty much now. And
yeah.
It's interesting because I did have, I've been in this area for 4 months, and
yeah.
I was hating it for the 4 months. And mm-hmm. I was like, you know what, I'll be a tourist here. I would normally not never live here. This is why I moved to Pennsylvania, to get out of the city. And I said, let me just make the best of it. And I was
yeah.
going through being like a tourist, and I would have some fits that I was like, I want to move. I can't stand it. Because the other thing, too, is I don't have any, really any of my stuff around me. It's all in storage. I'm living in a motel. So it's not even like you can
yeah.
really get comfortable.
Right.
So that creeps up on me sometimes, and I'm like, oh, it's dirty in here, and I can't get comfortable, and like whatever. And then the other day, so I started meeting. I just started like going to events, meeting people, making friends with people, I guess you can say. And then the other day,
yeah.
this is like a week or two ago, I was like, you know what, I like it here. Actually, I don't want to move far from here. And I was like, who are you? I was like, who is this person? I was like, you're actually
yep.
saying that. I was like, yeah, because I do artsy stuff and like this. I said, but I still need to be out of the city. I still need the trees around me and like away from the frequencies and stuff like that. I was like, I still want that, but I want to. As my realtor said, he emailed me something and he said, oh, this came up and it's 40 minutes away. And I was like, oh, I was thinking, oh, that's too far.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, look at you. You're attached to where you're living now? What is wrong with you? Like, you wanted to get out of here, and now you just started setting up events that you're going to start teaching, and what? You want to stay around here? And I was like, yeah, I kind of do. So I was like, what?
And that's reality, but look at the places that people are sending you. Look at what's being sent to you. Now, probably that was just a validation for you to have firmness in your mind. No, I don't want to leave here. I like it here. I'm building peeps in a foundation here. I don't want to leave. And that's fine. You don't have to. But 40 minutes away isn't that far. You could drive, and you could do what you need to do. And the minute you said that you were beginning to teach and meet people, I immediately got, that's going to be the hit that will take you where you're going to go. There's somebody in that group of folks that's going to, I don't know whether it's, like, say that's where they live, or they're just going to tell you, oh, you ought to take a drive, or some kind of something, something. They're going to give you some kind of an idea about where, you know, maybe take, and I see you doing it. Are your leaves starting to turn color already back there?
Yeah, it got really cold, and that's why, like, it sort of brought another wave of, like, what are we doing here? And now it's wintertime,
yeah.
and I have to go take out my winter clothes from storage. Like, I thought you didn't want me to get comfortable here. And Spirit
yeah.
was saying to me I was moving in September. Like, I thought I was going to be moving by the end of September. Meanwhile, now it's October.
Right. And then November, and then maybe December, and into January. And the reality of it is the frank, pretty truth is Spirit doesn't own the clock, you know, and I hate the fact, or a calendar, and I hate the fact that, and I do, I don't like using that word, but I hate the fact that you can be given information and then over a course of time, inadvertently it changes, not even through your own actions. It could have been through somebody else's doings. And that's what you have to remember too, because we are in a complex situation here of living with other individuals on this freaking planet that are going to have the ability to change our timeline through their inadvertent actions, whether we like it or not. Now, is that supposed to happen that way? Well, of course it is, or it wouldn't. But the reality of it is, it just really catches us off guard. But it's a part of the bigger plan. And, you know, and we've done it to other people. So it's not like, oh, gee, how could they do that? Well, no, we do it too. We're human. You know, we do things that change people's lives, period. And whether it's through action or words, we can change people's lives. And we do. And so, of course, if we do theirs, they do ours. So just hang in there, honey. You're doing good. You've got lovely, lovely stuff coming. I think really you're not going to be that far away from where you are. I do feel you're going to continue your classes. I do feel you're going to be moving here. I feel like I want to say it's not the leaves are still on the trees. The leaves are still on the tree.
Yeah, I mean, I know it's happening. I think I do have hope, you know, after your definition and after I looked it up or whatever. I think I do have hope. Obviously, I know I'm moving, you know. Obviously, I know I'm getting a job. Obviously, I know my business is building here. Like, I know all these things. It's just, it was just the whole thing that, again, on how spirit, like, sort of shifted me on it again. And it was like, okay, a little bit longer, like, sure, go get your winter clothes. But even when I'm at storage, they're like, don't take so much stuff. And I was like, I don't know how much you're keeping me here. And I took some crystals out because I missed my crystals. It's been like 6 months without my crystals and my Tibetan bowl and like all that shit that everyone has. And I was like, they were like, don't take it, just leave it, just leave it. And I took some of my crystals, and now I'm going to bring it back because it doesn't even feel – I don't feel comfortable having it here. I don't want it here.
No. And no, keep it all with your stuff and the same energy. Don't pollute it in other – don't. Yeah. And that's why. So Spirit was working with you. You said, okay, I'm going to go get stuff. And immediately Spirit piped up. Not so much.
Yeah, but
they're still there. They're still working with you.
I mean, I think also a big part of this experience has been to release – I'm a big, like, detox person and, like, all these spiritual practices. And when I went through this experience – I was also like starting to buy food from farmers and only do that and make my own bone broth and all that stuff. And Spirit brought me to this place that it was like, you can't do your skin brushing. You can't take salt baths. You're in frequencies. Like you can't, like all the things that you were like escaping, we're having you kind of be in and like you see you're okay, you know, like, so...
There's been a lot of points to that.
I'm grateful for all of them. It's just a thing of like, hey, I really would like to have my bed back and my nice sheets and all of that, you know?
Been more than one time I've kind of probably said at the top of my voice, all right, enough is enough. I get it. Or if I don't get it, then I'm too dumb to get it. Present it in a different manner. I'm gone. I just don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah.
So, all right, Ernesto. Well, I know I've been talking my brains out here. I don't know. You probably have something to interject.
Sure. Yeah, let me just add this because I know I'm running out of time and the show's going to be ending here pretty soon. So, Jessica, I just want to say this to you. So, like, well, you guys were having the conversation about that, you know, that definitely by the first of the – after the first of the year that you're going to have that, you know, movement that you're – that move that you're looking for, that all of the false starts and everything that's going to be over. So, like, I was looking at – so what is it that Jessica needs to know? What is it that Jessica needs to work on herself? Internally to create that external world. Well, I'm going to tell you. So first of all, I'm going to ask you straight up. Is your mother still with us?
She is, but I'm not really connected to her.
Okay. I feel like that number one, like your mother, that there's some stuff there that needs to be resolved. I don't know what that refers to specifically. I'd have to break that down. That's a separate analysis. But it looks like that you've got some, you know, business to finish up with her. That's number one. That's one thing that needs to be checked off of your list before you can get out of town. Number two, which is really the big one, which is the internal change. This is going to have to deal with, you know, like a lot of the, how would you refer to this? Like a negative feedback loop, or, you know, like the self-talk, or, you know, like just a lot of the depressing thoughts and, you know, things that you just deal with on a regular basis, that, you know, just getting that to drop, you know, that realizing that it really is my own actions that makes me feel better. And I, you know, we can say these things, but do you believe that? No, none of us does. Let's be honest here. It takes us a lot of, you know, our entire lives to come to that conclusion. And I think that this is going to be a big thing that you're going to have to deal with is that mental transformation and also dropping the connections of people who are spiritually bankrupt, you know, like that there's some, you know, like let's say other psychic people or other people who work in metaphysics, spirituality, who are not who they who claim that they represent to be. So, you know, just coming to that realization that these people are unhealthy.
Well, that's my mom. That's my mom. That's what you're talking about. That's my mom too. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So there's some issues there that need to be resolved. And these are going to be like the core issues that you'll be working on before you leave. And you'll know when you are ready to leave. But I'm just telling you now that those are the two key areas where you really need to do some work before that move starts to open itself up to you.
Yeah, it's interesting because when you go through something that has been like sort of taxing on you and like you go through a lot of growth and when you're like, all right, enough already, like I mercy, you know, type of thing, it does pipe up those negative thoughts of like, why do I have to always go through such intensity? And like, I know this, like I like who I've become through this experience, but it's been like super draining. And you feel like you are being punished in a way, or like you mapped out like such a bad life for yourself, and those are those negative thoughts. But like, I don't know, how could you not think that? Like, I just feel like
that's the faith thing. Faith comes in. And the reality is that so. So you know those people that are just so devout that no matter what, nothing rattles their cage. Well, those, and we're not talking about the people that are mentally ill. I'm not talking about that. Those people are what ultimately the righteous or the not righteous. What do I want? Pious. That's real devotion. That's real faith. That's what you want to, that's who you want to be practicing. Like if you want to, you know, be the kind of person that can forgive and forget and do what it takes to let go of the pain so you don't spread the anger through your energy. That's what faith is. So when Ernesto is saying about your mom, that's what you've got to do some work on. Even though you're in a position to say, no, I need to be healthy, and being healthy does not include being around my mom, you still have to put something in perspective with her. So figure out what that may be. Take some time, a few days, to, A, put it in perspective with the reality and understanding that you know you picked your mother to bring you the environment you needed to learn from. If you struggle with what your mother is in your life for, just chalk it up to she needed to teach you what not to be and call it good. Love her because she's your mom. Don't disrespect her because she's your mom. But maybe apologize at some point, a blanket apology. You don't even have to tell her what for. To cover your ass for all the things you know you probably responded to her wrong with all the time that she attacked you or tried to whatever, and call it good. Call it done. Be healed with it. Think of your mom happily, because that's where the negative connotation comes from, that negative talk.
The negative talk about the hard life you're talking about?
Negative talk, period. Any kind. Yeah, that's you repeating a pattern. That's mom.
From my mom specifically, you're saying.
Yes. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, we're going to have to end it there because we've really out of time for the show. So, Jessica, thank you so much for giving us a call today. And be sure to give us a call back and let us know how it turns out.
Thanks. Sure. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Catch up with you soon. Take care. Until next day. Bye. Okay, well, we do want to thank all of our guests for being on the show with us here tonight. We will be back with you guys on Wednesday at 7 o'clock Arizona or Mountain Time for a one-hour show. Veretta, as always, thank you so much for joining us today. It was always great to have you on the show and to have these terrific conversations about life, the universe, and everything else.
No, it was great. I think it was a good show today. Thank you for having me on this show.
Yeah, it was a great show. Thank you to all of our subscribers. We really do appreciate having you. And to all of our subscribers out in the listeners, hello to you too. Be sure to come back to us Wednesday evening. We will be back at 7 p.m. for a one-hour show. For all other things Iranian astrology, be sure to check out eAstrologer. My apologies, ESTRO.TV and for Beretta, BerettaVision.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook, too. We do have a Facebook page as well where we're going to be posting out some new things. So thank you to everybody who came out tonight. We will catch up with you guys real soon. Take care, and until next time.